The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Well, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. Welcome to a Friday, everyone. Wow, go figure. Donald Trump tested positive for COVID-19. Are you surprised? Let me tell you. So how usually this stuff unfolds Friday afternoon after I get off the air and then I have to wait all weekend to be back on to talk to you about it. This time, well, it all happened on Thursday. Thank you so much. So here's what happened. Last night, I don't know, it was dinner time. And all of a sudden, we get the news that Hope Hicks, Donald Trump's advisor, she's 12. And for some reason, maybe because she's pretty, he really likes her. She worked for him at the Trump Organization, came with him to D.C., worked for him in a number of different capacities. Then she left, went over to Fox, and then came back. So I think she's probably the only person who left the White House, the Trump White House, and returned because who knows why. Anyway, she is one of his closest advisors and confidants. So they're always together. She helped with his debate prep. And don't listen to the bullshit that he didn't do any prep. That's another just Donald Trump lie. Of course he prepped. He prepped to do what he did, which was, you know, blow the whole thing up. That's how he preps. Anyway, Hope Hicks was part of the debate prep. She traveled with him a number of times over the last week on Air Force One, on Marine One, you name it, she was there. So when the news came in yesterday that Hope Hicks tested positive for the COVID, all I could think was, Trump's next. You know, if she has it, he has it. So, you know, and if, you know, you listen regularly, you know, I have sleeping issues. I don't sleep well. So I fall asleep at like, you know, 10 o'clock because I can't keep my eyes open anymore. And then 11:30, 12, 12:30 at the latest, I'm up. So I was up at 12:30. Flipping around the dials, and I just decide, well, let me see the latest on you know, what's happening on the news. And I fall asleep with the television on because I'm one of those people. So I turn it on MSNBC just in time. Now it was already like 1 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, you know, an alert comes on, breaking news. And I'm thinking, is this from earlier? Because they repeat the primetime shows throughout the night. They run the 11th hour way too often. Just if anyone's, you know, from MSNBC listening, you don't have to run it every other hour. Just saying. Anyway, I thought it was just a repeat of one of those. And then I realized when Brian Williams said, we are live here at 1 a.m. and there is breaking news. Donald Trump has tested positive for COVID-19. Now, I don't wish ill on anybody, but let me tell you, if anybody ever deserved to get this virus, it's Donald Trump, because he has poo-pooed it, he has downplayed it, despite his protestations to the opposite. But he admitted to Bob Woodward, I like downplaying it, that's what I do, I don't want to create panic. Ugh. Well, so... Yeah, apparently when they got back from wherever they were last night after the word of, you know, Hope Hicks came out, they tested the Trumps again and both Donald and Malaria are positive. Now, in case you're wondering how much Donald really understands about this stuff, this is from a few months ago. This is what he said after another test.
I tested very positively in another sense. So this what? Morning, yeah, I tested positively toward negative, right? No, I tested perfectly this morning.
So I guess now he tested positive in a negative way. Sucks, doesn't it? Yeah. So now I guess we wait. We wait to see what happens. We wait to see how many more are infected. Good news is, I mean, it was scary because he was on the debate stage Tuesday night, probably 6 feet away from Joe Biden, but screaming and spewing his droplets, his COVID-infected droplets. And check this out. You know how allegedly everybody was tested before they went into the debate hall? Well, I just read, and I'm not positive that this is true. I read it on Twitter and I didn't see the attribution, but it appeared to be true that Trump arrived late to the debate on Tuesday night and therefore didn't get tested. He was not tested Tuesday. Everybody else was, but because Trump was late, he skipped the test. How do you like them apples? Yeah, no, me either. But thankfully, today, Joe and Jill Biden were both tested and they're both negative. But there are other positives, more people, you know, positives in the negative sense, to quote Donald. What's her name? Romney, the head of the RNC, Mitt Romney's niece, who doesn't use the name Romney, Ronna McDaniel. Ronna Romney McDaniel, she used to be before her uncle fell out of favor with Trump. She tested positive, and apparently she tested positive on Wednesday, didn't bother to tell anybody until last night or this morning. Nice people, right? And the president of Notre Dame, there were a lot of people at the White House on Saturday for Donald Trump's Rose Garden announcement of Amy Coney Barrett. Nomination to the Supreme Court. So they had this Rose Garden event, and a lot of people who were there now tested positive, including Senator Mike Lee. Now, Mike Lee is pissed, apparently. He was running around maskless. There are pictures of him hugging people. Well, something else I just read is that they actually made an announcement. Everybody who showed up at that ceremony got tested. And they came back and made an announcement, said everybody tested negative. You're all fine. You can take off your masks. Well, now all these people are being infected. Mike Lee infected. And the president of Notre Dame, what's his name? I have it here somewhere. Who is, where is it? Oh, I've got so many things of notes up here because I'm guest hosting the broadcast tonight for Brad and Desi. So I have their stuff here too. And now I can't find, anyway, I don't know his name, but the president of Notre Dame, Amy Coney Barrett, used to teach there. So the president of the university showed up and, guess what? Yeah, he tested positive too. And so now people in the Capitol are freaking out. Now they want testing because, you know, they weren't doing testing in the Capitol. And at the White House, they now have a new policy that a mask must be worn at all times, unless you're in your office alone. And Brian Stelter, who works at CNN here, Alex Ward, who writes for Vox, tweeted, White House official tells me all staffers are now mandated to wear masks in common areas, also known as anywhere outside their office. Order came from National Security Advisor O'Brien. And then Brian Stelter retweeted that with a comment, for what it's worth, this is what we've been doing in office building settings since the spring. Because the White House people thought they were above it. You know, testing. And hey, Donald, why did you get a test? Because if you didn't get the test, you couldn't possibly be positive. I know I have a rim shot here somewhere. I know I do. In fact, it's right here. Yeah, it's insane just what is going on. Yeah, so the Notre Dame president says, after White House gave guests COVID tests, quote, we were notified that we all tested negative and were told that it was safe to remove our masks. The president of Notre Dame, who is now positive for COVID-19. Malaria is positive, too. And, you know, there are some people, because everyone is not so trusting. We question everything these days. And I got to say, when something comes out of the mouth of a Trump, you question it because they lie a lot. And so there was a story that was just getting steam when, you know, the news broke yesterday. And it was that former friend of Melanoma's, I forget her name. She's got three names, one of those Stephanie something something. And she wrote a book, you know, My Former Friend Melania. And there's tape. She went on CNN yesterday before all shit broke loose and played some tapes of, you know, her phone conversations with her former best friend. You know, I've never recorded a former best friend or current best friend. Anyway, because you don't do that. But I guess if it's, you know, the wife of Donald Trump, maybe you do. So anyway, there are a couple of things that I just found fascinating. For instance, if you thought that melanoma maybe was not as heinous as her husband, well, you'd be wrong.
They say I'm complicit. I'm the same like him. I support him. I don't say enough. I don't do enough.
No.
I'm working like a ass, my ass.
I know.
She's working her ass off.
Who gives a f*** about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
Yeah, but
go ahead.
That's what I wanted you to hear. I'm working my ass off and, you know, I have to do it. Christmas decorations. Who gives a fuck about Christmas? Says the woman married to the man who's pretending to be part of this evangelical movement that has for some twisted reason embraced him. Oh, it goes on. But she talks about the liberal media. And the reason she wore that stupid jacket that says, I really don't care, do you? When she went to the border where children were separated from their mothers and all locked in these steel cages, she wrote that, she said, because it makes the liberals crazy. She's as fucking nuts as he is. So anyway, so I'm up last night. I'm like thinking, great, I thought I was going to get some sleep and now I don't. By the way, when they're talking about all these people who are infected, Judge Amy Coney Barrett is not. She tested negative, which is positive, by the way. And well, what we learned today is that she already had the COVID-19. So she probably thinks she's immune, but Dr. Eric Feigl-Ding, that's his name, somebody I recently started following on Twitter who seems to know what he's talking about, just tweeted out, there are now 22 confirmed cases of reinfection. Just went up 2 more confirmed reinfection documented with COVID in just 3 days. So any immunity that you might get from being infected once, if there is immunity, it's short-lived. 2 more confirmed infections bring the number 22. He says, we cannot assume Judge Amy Coney Barrett is immune. She must quarantine for full duration and not testify before the Senate because she's supposed to go in less than, I think it's like 10 days. In the middle of October. I think it's like the 16th or something. So that should not happen. Nobody is safe from this. Not even people who say it's a hoax. It's a hoax. So anyway, it's Friday. I was thinking we're going to celebrate going into the weekend again. There's an event that happens in Seattle every year, and it has for something like 21 years since the early 90s and or 19 years since 1991, something like that. I'm all mixed up these days because I didn't sleep much last night. So anyway, the next weekend is the Seattle Hemp Fest. But they can't have it because of the COVID. So they're doing it virtually. And we will speak with the director of HempFest at the end of the show to sort of segue into the weekend. But I'm thinking when I, you know, I'm not sleeping last night, thinking, who can I talk to about this? And, you know, I landed on David Dayan. David Dayan, of course, is a journalist who he must not sleep at all, because he's the most prolific person I know. He just published his second book, Monopolizing, or The Monopolize, something like that. It's about monopolies. Good book. He writes incessantly. I mean, it's a good thing. I don't mean that as an insult. And he is the executive editor of the American Prospect magazine. And I had just finished reading an article in this print edition that's really long and really involved. It's called The Winter of Our Discontent. The Winter of Our Discontent, Protecting the 78 Harrowing Days After the Election. And it talks about that period, the transition period, the lame duck period, the interregnum, which is a word that I never knew before, but I've heard it a lot in recent days. That's the 78 days between November 3rd and January 20th. Interregnum is the technical term. Anyway, it's really good, except what he didn't anticipate in writing this piece. And when you write for print, there's a long lead time because it takes a while to get it to press and published and everything. He didn't anticipate the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Donald Trump getting COVID, although the second one was probably inevitable. But anyway, I called on David Dayan this morning because I couldn't think of anyone else I'd rather talk to. And thankfully, he took my call. On the line with us now is David Dayan. He's the executive editor of The American Prospect and author of a number of wonderful books. But today we're talking in his role as a journalist. And Dave, thank you so much for jumping in at the last minute. We got hit with a bombshell last night after learning that Hope Hicks tested positive for the COVID. We then learned at about 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time that both Donald Trump and his wife are also positive. This obviously kind of changes everything, doesn't it? Or does it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the value of living on the West Coast when it was only 10 o'clock at night when I found this out.
Right.
So I had some time to react to it. it certainly changes a lot. I mean, there are implications for just sort of the government. This is one of the largest contact tracing projects that you'll ever have to deal with. The president sees hundreds of people, was at rallies with thousands of people in the period that sort of needs to be checked out. And so just on a health standpoint, it's a massive undertaking. And then, of course, we have an election in a month. He's off the trail for a couple weeks.
At least.
You would think, yes. There are now indications that he has symptoms. Mm-hmm. So it certainly could be longer than that. He's 74 years old.
Yep.
He's in a higher risk category. The implications of someone becoming either incapacitated or, dead, I mean, God forbid, but it could happen.
Yeah, yes, it could.
A month before the election, there's no way to change the ballots. People have already voted. It would be utter chaos. It has not happened in our history, in the modern era of how we do these elections. It would be just a completely unprecedented, chaotic situation.
Well, everything
on top of all the other,
right. Unprecedented.
The other unprecedented, chaotic situations.
Exactly, because right. I was about to say, everything about this administration, everything about his reign of terror has been sort of unprecedented. And then the news, as we're learning more details about this, it's kind of astounding that the timeline, because we're learning that on one hand, Kayleigh McEnany knew that Hope Hicks was not only positive, but was symptomatic before she went into the White House briefing room yesterday and had arguments with just about every reporter in there. Not only that, but they knew that Hope Hicks had tested positive and was symptomatic before Donald Trump went to this fundraiser last night with over 100 people there that he was mingling with and obviously spreading the disease.
Yeah, nobody has has invited this infection more than Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he's done, said, acted has led up to this moment and led up to him being a kind of super spreader.
Mm-hmm.
He has not taken this seriously. He has not looked out for the health of himself or anyone around him. And that extends to the entire country. He has, you know, stumped for reopening prematurely. He, called on the liberation of states. He called for schools to be reopened. He has not prepared in any meaningful way for the severity and the contagiousness of this virus. And, you know, I'm not going to yell at anybody who wants to laugh about this, because he was not but a couple days ago laughing at anyone who took precautions.
That's right.
Including Joe Biden.
That's right.
By wearing masks or practicing social distancing. It's just a manifestation of his complete irresponsibility as president. And it's almost not even ironic. It's just, this is what's going to happen.
Right. Who could have thought?
If you do
right.
this thing.
Exactly. Kind of thing. Exactly. And, you know, it's on so many levels. I mean, we saw it coming. It was just a matter of time because of his behavior. And you're right. One phrase I've seen a lot over the last few hours on social media and elsewhere is karma's a bitch. David Dayen, I was just last night over dinner, I was reading your piece titled The Winter of Our Discontent in the current issue, in the September-October issue of the American Prospect magazine, that I've got the hard copy here in my hand because I'm a subscriber. And it's such a great piece that I was going to reach out to you and say, let's discuss this. The subtitle is Projecting the 78 Harrowing Days After the Election. And it's what's that period called? The interregnum or something?
Interregnum or the transition period. But clearly, I wasn't creative enough. There was all sorts of things, like a Supreme Court justice dying or the president of the United States getting coronavirus. There are all a whole litany of things that I could have delved into in that piece. I'm ashamed of myself for not thinking of them.
That's the problem with a print magazine, that you have a long right. deadline, right? And so who right. would have thought that every day is like a month in a news cycle, in a normal news cycle?
Exactly.
So here we are. I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen. And that piece, I still encourage everybody to read it, because under normal circumstances, as much as you can call this administration, quote, normal, it was going to be crazy. And now there's two more things thrown into the mix. So you mentioned the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and someone else who's probably going to have to quarantine for at least 2 weeks now is the woman Donald Trump is nominating to fill Ruth's seat, Amy Coney right. Barrett, because there she was with him in the Rose Garden, right? I mean, unprotected.
She's saying that they test every day, and she says she's negative.
Oh my.
And that she's, you know, it's, I saw legislative aides say full steam ahead on the Coney Barrett nomination. We, of course, know that Ronna Romney McDaniel has contracted coronavirus.
Yep, that just broke.
She's the chairwoman of the RNC, and she was with Barrett and everybody on Saturday. She apparently got her diagnosis back on Monday. We have no idea how far this goes in the upper echelons of government. The people that we're talking about all commingle, congregate, interact with one another on a daily basis. And, we're just not going to know. I said something on Twitter this morning. In the 1890s, Grover Cleveland had cancer of the jaw, and he secretly went out on a boat with a surgeon and had a good portion of his jaw removed without telling anybody, without telling the press where he was. And when he came back and somebody leaked the information, he and the government ruined that journalist's life and completely discredited it. So, and Grover Cleveland's brand was, I always tell the truth. So that is not Donald Trump's brand, right? So if we think that we're going to get the full story right away now, we're not. There's already indications they were trying to cover up the Hope Hicks diagnosis. We just aren't going to know a lot about what's going on. They are going to severely restrict the information. And this is, you know, for anyone who's working in high levels of government in Washington, this is a dangerous time.
It is. It's a dangerous time for anybody not. Look, you know, I'm sitting here in South Florida and I barely leave my house because I'm high risk. And I'm living in a state where we have a governor whose name has morphed from DeSantis to death sentence because he opened up the state where the numbers of cases are growing, took away all restrictions. It's insane. We don't know what's happening. That's the big point right now. We're all kind of flying blind. We can't even imagine that we're going to get any kind of semblance of truth from this administration. Just look as far back as yesterday, and they were lying to us. They lie every day. So, I mean, how do we move forward? I can't imagine there are going to be any more debates. Do you think the vice presidential debate's going to go on next week? Both Mike Pence and now Kamala Harris are saying they've tested negative.
Yeah, they both tested negative, so it's possible it goes forward. You know, it would be just the true comeuppance of the government and politics and democracy to have a Zoom debate. It would just be like, let them do that. But you know, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, this really just throws so much into upheaval. I mean, I do think that. Because this is such an indicator of what is going on, what has been going on for the last 6 months with this virus, that politically this seems like it has to hurt Trump.
I mean, you would think.
It shows his irresponsibility. It shows his lack of attention to the virus, how he's refused to take it seriously, and now it's affected even him. So you know, it just seems like that's the way this is going to go, and the Republican Party has sort of a choice to make, and clearly their choice is grab everything that's not laid down before we get kicked out of the majority, and that's what's going on with the Coney Barrett nomination.
Wow. There's so much up in the air. I mean, and this last 4 years has been chaotic and full of turmoil. And now, as we get closer to November 3rd, things are crazy. And then, of course, as you write in the current issue of The American Prospect, the days during the transition, the lame duck period, hopefully it will be, is going to be even more chaotic. And now throwing COVID into the mix with the Trumps. And I have no illusions that we're going to get the truth about his condition from anybody because he's lied about his health since his first presidential checkup. We really are flying blind. I guess all we can do is just move forward, you know, doing our best to get this man out of office and hopefully get back to some semblance of normalcy in this country. I don't know that it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an indicator that this virus is going to go on for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
That there's just no way to seal yourself off from this thing in a 100% airtight fashion. I mean, yeah, we know that the president is, you know, being kind of cavalier about this, but no, there are so many protections and safeguards in terms of access to a president, even in a campaign situation, in terms of him being tested every day, everyone around him being tested every day. The fact that it could get through to him shows just the virulence of this strain. And the other thing I would say, and I don't know if this is hopeful or not, is that if there was anyone in the country who could speak to the conspiracy mongers, the people who blow this off, who think it's just the flu, whatever, it would be Donald Trump. He's mm-hmm. the only one that can say, look, I got it. This is serious. Wear a mask. We protect yourself. Be careful. He's the only one that can say that and be listened to. And now that he has it, I mean, yeah, I'm asking the world here to ask some reflection from Donald Trump.
Good luck.
But he's the only one that can actually do that. And if he does, It would actually make the country a much safer place right now.
Without a doubt. And so one might say it would be better for the people of this nation if Donald Trump suffers a little bit through this, if he doesn't have just a mild case, but gets the full effects of what COVID does to you, so he could speak with authority and tell people this is real, this is dangerous, wear a damn mask and stay at home.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to wish that on anybody.
No, but
it's a terrible disease.
Yes, it is.
What we do know is that Boris Johnson's mood really shifted yeah. after he had a near-death experience. He was actually on a ventilator, I believe, in the UK, and he really changed his view on this, and was pretty poignant in the aftermath. So that's. That there is a possibility there, and you know, we need somebody to get through to the large sections of the country that have politicized mask wearing, that have dismissed the possibility of deadliness with respect to the virus. So I'm hoping that can get across no matter how. This potentially affects the president.
Absolutely. David Dayan, of course, executive editor of the American Prospect. Find him online at prospect.org. Also, check out his latest book, Monopolized, which is definitely worth the read. And if you're stuck at home, you got some downtime to read it. David Dayan, thank you so much. I always appreciate your input. And I will also suggest that everybody sign up for your newsletter at the American Prospect, because there I saw it this morning, and all it said, your headline is Trump's Got It. And we know what the it is. And, oh, boy, just another day in 2020. Trump's
That's
America.
Right.
Thank you so much,
That's
Dave.
Right.
You take care and take care of yourself. On the line with us
David
now
Dayan,
is Dayan, who joined us. Well, we taped that this morning because, as I said, he is a busy man. I mean, he writes, I don't know how many news stories he writes each day at prospect.org. He also still writes for other publications somehow and books, and is the executive editor over there. So I'm always honored when I get some time to talk to him. Yeah, he's one of the greats working these days and working hard. He's based in Los Angeles. Now, you look at the press pool in Washington, D.C., and it's, they haven't given us names, but they're telling us two reporters who work out of the White House have now tested positive, and I believe two more staffers. And late breaking news, Donald Trump is now being admitted to Walter Reed Medical Center. Apparently, they waited until after the stock market closed. But they're also saying that, because you know you can believe everything that they tell us in the White House, that, oh, he's fine, he's just going for a few days to, for extra precaution. Let's see. President Trump is headed to Walter Reed Hospital after being diagnosed. Here's the story yesterday. And I guess it's been confirmed. Chris Wallace confirmed the story that Trump arrived too late to the debate to get tested and use the honor system. Let me tell you something. You can't use the honor system if you've got no honor. Just thought I'd point that out. All right. You know, I guess we can get to a little bit of the news in a few minutes. As I mentioned, we're going to be joined by Vivian McPeak, who is one of the founders of HempFest and is the director of it this year, where they made the move to, instead of in person, they are going to do it virtually. And it's next weekend. So we'll have all the details coming up in just a moment.
A few minutes of
And I'm playing the wrong one again. Okay, this is what I need to play. I think I've got the wrong, I've got the wrong pot up here. Now I can do this.
The Nicole Sandler Show.
The Nicole Sandler Show.
On the Progressive Voices Network.
Because I brought Progressive Voices back from the commercial break. Still got to work on that smoothness thing. All right, let me tell you very quickly a few other news stories that you should know about. It seems like everything pales in comparison to the, you know, the COVID story. But when we last spoke, you know, we were talking about the debate or whatever, the debacle that happened on Tuesday when Donald Trump refused to disavow white supremacy. So he goes on Sean Hannity's show last night. I know, what a rare occasion. Yeah. Anyway, he went on Hannity's TV show last night and finally condemned white supremacists. He endured two more days of criticism for declining to denounce them during the debate. He told the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by. And then he goes on Hannity last night and says this.
I have to say, I've said it many times, and let me be clear again, I condemn the KKK. I condemn all white supremacists.
Really?
I condemn the Proud Boys. No. I don't know much about the Proud Boys,
bullshit.
Almost nothing, but I condemn that. But he should condemn also Antifa. Antifa is a horrible group of people. They kill people. They what they do to people, and they're causing insurrection, they're causing riots. He doesn't want to do that, but the press doesn't go after him, and that's a really bad group of people. But I condemn them, and if I can, if I say it 100, if I say it 100 times, it won't be enough because it's fake news.
No, you're fake. You're a fake president, and you don't, haven't said it 100 times. This is the first time you actually came out and said it in no uncertain terms. But as for, you know, Joe Biden should condemn Antifa, no, Joe Biden actually, well, said this at the debate.
This is a left-wing problem.
White supremacist. Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not malicious. That's what FBI director
Gentlemen.
Said.
Antifa is an idea, not an organization. There's no reason to denounce Antifa. Antifa's not doing anything wrong. And I posted a graphic that I found online the other day, and it's a picture of the Von Trapp family singers. If you don't know who they are, go watch The Sound of Music. Yes, it's the family. It's the kids and Maria and the colonel or the captain or whoever he is. And it across the top, it says Antifa. That's what Antifa is. If you're against fascism, you're Antifa. I'm Antifa. You're Antifa. We're Antifa. Yeah. It's just such opposite world. All right. I see. Let me see if I can deal with my technical stuff here. So I mentioned earlier, enough of the news. You can listen to What's News. And if you didn't hear it today, you can go to NicoleSandler.com and click on What's News, and you'll get the extended version because there's a lot of news going on these days. There's a lot of stuff happening. And sadly, most of it has to do with the fact that we are we're living through this pandemic. And we now know that the president of the United States, who's been a COVID denier, has been infected. What a shame. Yeah. And now he's on his way to Walter Reed. But it's reasons like this that, for instance, Joe Biden is not doing massive rallies. Donald Trump says he can't get a crowd. Believe me, that's not it. Right now, millions of people would show up in order to help get you out of office. But that's besides the point. Again, Trump is now in the hospital. We are not having big gatherings, but there are annual events that have happened every year, some for, you know, the last 20 years, that this year can't do it. So I'm happy to welcome to the show Vivian McPeak. He's the director of HempFest. It's an annual event that happens in Seattle. This year, obviously, because of COVID, they can't do things as they usually do. So first of all, hi, Vivian. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nicole. Thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I'm happy to do this. When I invited you on the program, I didn't know that we would be dealing with the president and his wife being infected with COVID and earth-shattering news. But, you know, we can chew gum and walk at the same time. Anyway, here we are in the middle of all this stuff, and for good reason, you decided not to have the actual COVID physical event, or the HempFest physical event this year because of COVID. Did you make that decision, or was that decision made for you?
It was a little bit of both, Nicole, and we do have a dizzying news cycle. We were looking for some direction from the city and the state for a while. But around the same time that we came to the conclusion that we just couldn't safely produce a public event, the city did say that they weren't issuing any more special event permits for some time, for the rest of the summer at the time. So it just seemed like the prudent thing to do.
Right. Now, you usually have HempFest in August, don't you?
That's right.
And
Seattle HempFest is the largest annual cannabis policy reform event in the world. And we're in our 29th year, and on a normal year, we'd have 100,000 people down on the waterfront, multiple stages, 300 arts, crafts, food, and informational vendors. But we realized that we can't safely produce the event, so we've moved it online this year on October 10th and 11th for a two-day global live stream event that we're pretty excited about.
And so it's happening next weekend. We decided to do it, you know, a week before to give people a chance to get involved should they care to. So it's October 10th and 11th next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. The website is hempfest.org. But the difference between an online festival and an in-person festival is pretty big. I mean, just at an in-person, you're there amongst the people. How do you do it online? What do you have planned?
Well, it's certainly not as sexy being online as it is down on the beautiful Seattle waterfront with everything going on, with kind of sensory overload. But our event is going to be actually at hempfestonline.org. We put together a special website just for this. And if folks want to briefly tear themselves away from our political dystopian hellscape, the event's going to feature two Vimeo channels, one with panel discussions both days, all day long, and one with musical performances and guest and keynote speakers. And we've added Grammy Award-winning artists Bone Thugs and Harmony and Ricky Lee Jones.
Wow.
Jason Gann from the TV series Wilfred, the guy that has the dog suit.
Sure.
And TV travel host and author Rick Steves, as well as Cheech and Chong to the event. And we'll have musical performances from acts all the way from all across America, as well as Japan, Chile, and Ukraine.
Wow. So Ricky Lee Jones, for example, is going to perform? Is she going to do it from her home and like zoom in to your thing, or how does it work?
Yes, we've got on the one channel that will have music all day long. The musical performances are kind of split in three ways. One third of them will be live streaming from their remote locations, which Ricky Lee Jones will be coming from Los Angeles. One third will be in studio. We have a studio secured here in Seattle. We'll have acts coming in and playing live. And then one third of them, like the ones from other time zones and other countries, are pre-recorded video performances.
Wow. So tell me, for those of us, the uninitiated, someone who has not been to a hemp fest, what goes on? Now, it's hemp fest, not cannabis fest, but obviously you embrace the cannabis. It's legal there in Washington State now, so you don't have to worry about breaking any laws. You do have medical marijuana, but you also have recreational weed. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Seattle Hemp Fest has always been kind of equally dedicated to medical marijuana, recreational legal use by adults, and industrial hemp cultivation, and kind of all that stuff is starting to finally happen. We had 21 years in of producing our event down on the Seattle waterfront when Washington State became one of the first states to legalize. But we have one of the largest selections, usually about 100 guest speakers, authors, activists, attorneys. We've had actually three presidential candidates speak at HempFest.
Really?
And then we also have a huge circus tent that has panel discussions at the event that goes all day long, all 3 days of the event, in a normal year, in a non-COVID year.
Wow. So because it's legal now, is there sampling at booths and things like that? I mean, is that you can you do that?
You know, in Washington State, it's not legal to do that. However, at Seattle Hemp Fest, in a normal Hemp Fest, there is a lot of imbibing taking place. And we feel that's an act of civil disobedience, but we don't allow sales of any kind or anything like that. We actually have our own internal safety patrol of 100 trained security people on our staff that kind of monitor the whole event. We have 100,000 people across a 1.3-mile long expansive park on the waterfront. It's a lot to handle, but we have a great track record. In 28 years that the events happen in the parks, we've never had a serious incident of accident, arrest, or injury.
Wow. Well, that's commendable. You know, well, you're in Seattle. Come on, Vivian. I mean, Donald Trump said you're an anarchist something jurisdiction or something?
An anarchist jurisdiction, yes, which was news to us here in Seattle.
What does that mean?
It's crazy. It's kind of surreal what we're living through, isn't it?
Yes. Do you know what that means? Is there any manifestation of it or any consequences for it?
It means that he's trying to scapegoat our city in a way to justify waging war against a blue state, metropolis. That's my guess. I mean, who can figure out Donald Trump? You know, I'm not sure that he can.
No. And now, I guess he's being checked into Walter Reed Medical Center. It's so sad. I hope he recovers quickly and then can tell his followers, his minions, the idiots running around saying that COVID is a hoax and you don't need to wear a mask. Maybe he'll change his tune a little bit if he survives.
I'd like him to be alive so that he can be defeated and experience that defeat this November.
And then go to jail.
Yes, I think that would be appropriate. I mean, so many Americans have been sent to jails and prisons for cannabis, which is a victimless crime. And the FBI Bureau of Statistics just came out and showed that still more Americans are being arrested for and prosecuted for cannabis than for violent crimes. And so considering the crimes against humanity and decency and our national interests and national security that Donald Trump has done, I think that we should probably let somebody out of jail for cannabis and replace them with members of his cabinet.
Absolutely. And his staff. So, again, the hempfest.org, you can get information. And I'm looking at hempfest.org is your umbrella site that
yes,
tells all about the event.
Umbrella site, correct. And you can link to the hempfestonline.org site from there.
Okay, so I will put links to both of them from my blog today at NicoleSandler.com. But is there a charge for this if someone wants to participate next weekend at HempFestOnline.org? What do they have to do?
Actually, it's free to view. We just ask that people support our sponsors and if they want to make a contribution. You know, we've been hit really hard by COVID. We were stopped in the middle of our production year. It's a $750,000 event.
Wow.
That's a free event to attend. And so we've had a really rough year. So if people want to chip in, and I just want to add what we still have a few seconds, that the theme of this event is the Green Renaissance. It's going to focus on the myriad ways that cannabis hemp can reboot our global society for a more just, sustainable, and renewable post-COVID world, because COVID has exposed some real deficiencies in the way that the global society does business.
Well, very nice. I mean, I'm looking at the main site, the hempfest.org, because I didn't even know about the other one till now. You have a whole section on registering to vote, on the candidates, elected officials, voter information. Obviously, I'm guessing this is all, unique to Washington State and the Seattle area, because that's where you're based. But
We are going to have a voter registration component to the actual live stream as well.
Nice. So this is great. You have panels, you have music, you have, is there anything that you, I guess sampling is what you can't do online, but you're not legally allowed to do that on the in-person event either. So I guess this is all a brave new world.
We encourage people to enjoy themselves while they're watching from home.
So when is Ricky Lee Jones performing? Should we care to see her? Is there a schedule anywhere?
Yes, Ricky Lee will be in the last last hour, I believe, if not 2 hours of the event. And the event is October 10th and 11th, Saturday and Sunday coming
next
up.
Week, right.
And that's going to be from noon to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So Ricky Lee will be sometime in the 6 to 8 o'clock range.
Perfect. That's Pacific. So in the middle of the day here on Sunday, you can get comfortably numb and enjoy throughout. So you'll have like panels and discussions and stuff on one channel and music and things on the other. And all the information will be at hempfestonline.org.
That's correct.
Awesome. And it's free. What more could you ask for? This is I guess what more we could ask for is that by next year, the pandemic is under control because we'll have somebody different running things, hopefully, who, you know, puts people in place and lets them, the experts, do their jobs. So by this time next year, although we'll probably still be wearing masks, the infection rate will have slowed, the death rate will have slowed, we'll be on the road to recovery, and maybe you can once again be on the waterfront in Seattle.
I sure hope we can get back to some sense of normalcy. There's been so much suffering all across the board, and so many people have sacrificed. So let's dream big.
Let's dream big. Hempfest.org and hempfestonline.org is where you can get all the information. I'll link to them both from my blog today, where I post today's show at NicoleSandler.com/10-2-20. It's next weekend. Enjoy. Everybody, and enjoy before then too, because while we're stuck at home, there are very few pleasures that some of us have, so we take it where we can get it. Vivian, thanks so much. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you so much, Nicole. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Vivian McPeak is the one of the founders of and the director of Hempfest in Seattle. A friend of mine actually went a few years ago. He's been on the show a number of times. If you've listened for any amount of time, you may know of the name Robert Platschorn. He's the guy who lives here in South Florida, who was arrested. He used to bring in marijuana, you know, from Colombia and other places in the 70s. And he got busted and the government made an example out of him. And they prosecuted him and sent him to jail for something like 60, 70 years. He served over 30 years in federal prison on a pot charge, which is just insane. And when he was released a few years ago, I believe he was invited to Hempfest. He's been invited to a number of different places. And he's today, I met him shortly after he was released, and he started doing the Silver Tour, which educates senior citizens about the benefits of medical marijuana. We're in Florida. It's still all medical here. Legally, it's still all medical here. And he's an old pitch man. Before he was arrested, he used to do like infomercials and like the Popeil pocket fisherman kind of things. And he was he decided with the Silver Tour, he wanted to do like a 30-minute long infomercial. Should grandma smoke pot? So I actually was the narrator for that project. You can look it up. You can find it on YouTube. It's very good. And if you need to convince a parent or a grandparent that maybe, you know, instead of taking all those pills for pain, maybe they should try some of the natural stuff. It's go to YouTube and search for Should Grandma Smoke Pot? And you'll find it. It's there. Anyway, there's that. All right. So we've got a few minutes left. Let me tell you what, I don't have a funny for today. I think, there's a lot of not funny stuff going on right now. I did pull something the other day. Stephen Colbert did a really, really funny bit. Let me see if I can find it, if I can pull it up while we're talking, because I'm not always good at that. But he the other night, I think this was it after the debate? I can't even remember. And I don't even know if I can find it, so I probably shouldn't have said anything. Let me just type in Colbert, B-E-R-T, and see if anything comes up. And it doesn't, so I must not have pulled it there. Oh, well, I can share with you some other things. Let me tell you this. There was, you know what? Instead of me finding something to play for you, I'll take a phone call. It's the listener. Is this, I think I know who this is. Who's this?
Yeah, I was calling to tell Nicole they're getting ready to transfer Trump by helicopter to Walter Reed.
I saw that. You know, of course, he goes everywhere in the helicopter. And I heard that he wanted to walk to Marine One because of the optics. He wanted to show the reporters that he was still capable of walking.
Yeah, but I got a feeling he can't breathe. He's having trouble breathing.
Yeah, no, this is not sounding good.
He's 74.
Yes, he's 74. He's obese. He's got other issues. The doctor
saying he weighs 240 pounds.
Sure. Yeah, he weighs 240 pounds.
He weighs 240 pounds.
Like I weigh 90. Right. Yeah, that's insane.
You know, but I wanted to let her know. Last time he went to Walter Reed, he took the
motorcade, right? Well, the last time he went, we still don't know why he went. It was that the motorcade where he went on a Saturday afternoon. They lied because they lie about everything, and they were talking about how it was. It was his physical. He had some spare time, so they thought he'd go on the Saturday. There was nothing routine about it, and they still won't tell us what happened.
Yep, and he had a bruise on his hand. You could see it. He was holding papers as he was walking in. You could see a big black bruise across the top of his hand.
Well, that...
From like an IV.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Melania has a terrible headache and a cough.
Oh, no. And I hear Barron is testing negative, and that makes sense because I don't think they ever see him.
No, I think he's pretty much stays away from his parents. I think if they were my parents, I would too.
I would too.
You know, teenagers.
Yep. All right.
But let her know, you know,
yep,
this is pretty bad.
All right.
Is this Allison?
No, it's Nicole. You call, I answer the phone. I'm the only person who answers the phone around here. I don't have a staff. I don't have people.
I like you.
Oh, it's me. It's me. But thank you for calling.
Let's say a little prayer because I don't want to be like them.
Right. Well, it's the power of positive thinking. This is, you know, last night. Thank you for calling. Last night, as I'm awake at 1 o'clock in the morning and watching this, I tweeted out the power of positive thinking. That's all I wrote because it was positive. And, you know, you can interpret it however you like. I got yelled at on Facebook for writing that. And someone's like, how dare you? It's so disrespectful. I'm like, well, what did I say? You're wishing ill will on somebody. I'm not. All I said was the power of positive thinking. And that could mean, you know, think positive. He'll be better. You know, you have to have a positive attitude when you're sick. Or it could mean something else. It's however you look at it. Uh-huh. So here we are, the end of another week. Usually big things, bad things have been happening on Fridays. So I have no idea what's going to happen now. Monday, you know, for a while I was doing this Monday music thing. And then I decided we're not going to do it every week because it takes a lot of effort. This Monday, we're doing a quasi Monday music with the one and only Harry Shearer. He'll be on with us live. Harry Shearer, who you know from This Is Spinal Tap, The Simpsons, and myriad other things, will join us. He's got this new album out. I played a video from it a couple of weeks ago. It's a comedy album. It takes massive digs at Donald Trump. And the album is just being released. So Harry Shearer will join us. We'll play some of the songs from the record. And we'll talk. In addition to being a very funny, very smart man, he's serious too. So we'll run the gamut, but we'll have fun with Harry Shearer next week. We have the vice presidential debate, should it still happen, happening on Wednesday night of next week. And tonight and next Friday, I'll be guest hosting the Bradcast. So you can join me over there. Bradblog.com. You can find the Bradcast. It'll be posted sometime before 8 p.m. and the show airs on the Progressive Voices Network at 8 Eastern. All right. With that, the weekend is officially here. Everybody enjoy, stay safe, stay socially distant, and, enjoy one on me, so to speak, virtually speaking. All right. I'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you Monday. Bye.